Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here to share. It's been a while since I've been able to speak
to you here in Coaldale. And this morning, I was feeling a little nervous, so I prayed and said, Lord, I need a word from you this morning to encourage me. And I went to my Bible for my regular devotions, and I opened it to the book of Acts, and it was a story of Stephen. And I said, Lord, give me the boldness of Stephen to preach, but hopefully not the same result. And so God gives strength. And in the Philippines, October is not known for Thanksgiving. It's Missions Month in many churches. And so usually we have a missions theme when we talk and we preach. And so this morning I've chosen to speak on missions. Surprise. Thinking global, starting local. And this, I decided to follow a little bit of Gary's theme of foundations, building foundations. Why do we believe what we believe in our church? And this morning we're going to look a little bit at missions, the Great Commission. And we're going to start from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Here, Jesus is giving instructions, words to his disciples before he left this earth. And my father, about a year before he passed away, had a stroke. And this stroke caused him to be unable to speak, or unable to speak clearly. And so that was difficult sometimes to communicate with my dad. I would sometimes call from the Philippines and talk to him on the phone, but he could not communicate clearly to me. And sometimes I wondered, what would my dad have said to me if he could have communicated clearly to me that last year of his life? Would he have told me certain things? My mother-in-law, Joyce's mom, before she passed away, she called her grandchildren to her, and she spoke specifically to each one, giving them a challenge, a word of encouragement. I don't know what she all told them, but she had specific words she wanted to share and of challenge to her grandchildren. And as I look at this, this topic this morning, we'll look at what is Jesus' challenge to his disciples. What does he want to tell before he left this earth? Usually, before you go on a trip or before you do something, you often want to communicate important instructions. And Jesus had some important instructions to tell his disciples. Luke says in verse 3, Jesus met several times with his disciples during the last 40 days of his life on earth. During that time, Jesus was very intentional to pass on to them important instructions about their future assignment. He said, verse 3 says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. He had something very important he wanted to communicate to them. Five major instructions, in fact, were given to the disciples, known to us as the Great Commission passages. Now, one of the common mistakes that people make with these passages is to think that they are, people use the word synoptic, they're the same place and time, just from different perspectives, different angles. But a close study of the context of these passages shows that they are sequential. They came in a certain order during those 40 days. And they're not synoptic. They're not the same message that Jesus gave to them. So these five messages came on different occasions. There were different addresses, different speeches. They happened in different locations. And they had five different emphases. So they're very different, but they all lead and will help us to get a better understanding of what he was trying to communicate. So if we look at it, you can see that the order, the sequential order, starts with the book of John, actually, and then goes to Mark, Matthew, Luke, and Acts. That's not exactly the order that is in our Bible, but that's how it happened in time. Why this order? First of all, he wanted to communicate little by little, incrementally, impart to his disciples information. Secondly, the disciples had just gone through a really, really rough time. They had seen their master, their rabbi, arrested, persecuted, suffered, died, and then rose again. And they are just, what in the world is going on? I don't understand what this is all about. And so Jesus was little by little trying to communicate these important truths. And then, of course, by teaching with repetition, he's emphasizing the importance of this message. These five passages are what I would like to call building blocks of our understanding of missions. What is our role as a church? What are we supposed to communicate? What are we supposed to do as we live here on earth? Let's look at the first building block, and this is the model for missions, and this is from John 20, verse 21. And in this verse, it's a very short verse, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Okay, now I work with an organization called Send International, and we basically get our name from this passage of Scripture, send. That's what we do. We send out missionaries to the mission field. And just the other day, I 2 weeks ago about now, we visited Nick Reimer in the hospital. And my wife and I were there, and he asked what we were doing now, and I said, well, I explained what our ministry was in the Philippines. We are mobilizing the Philippine church to go into missions. We are encouraging them. I work in preparing and training Filipinos to be missionaries. And he looked at me and said, who would have thought that Larry Thiessen would be doing that? I wasn't sure how to take that comment. But what I thought of that, I thought, who would have thought? I would never have thought of that back many, many years ago. And yet, by God's grace, God has led Joyce and I to the mission field to do the ministry we are involved in. And we are in the process of sending out missionaries. It was back in September 1990 when Joyce and I left for the Philippines for the first time as missionaries. We went partly because we felt called by God, of course, but because this church, Coldale MB Church, sent us. We went out because you sent us to go and be your light and witness in the country of the Philippines, to be a light and witness for the Lord. And when we think of missions, and in this passage about sending, missions presupposes a sender. Somebody has to send you if you're going to go. It presupposes a person who is sent, like Joyce and I, we were sent. Those to whom one is sent, a target audience. And then, of course, an assignment. Why are you going? If you're sending somebody somewhere, there's a reason. On this first teaching, notice this first passage. What was missing from the Great Commission? Where they were to go? There's no mention where the disciples were to go. It just says, I am sending you. And that's all. That's all he gave them at that time. How far are they to go? How long were they to go? Why were they to go? What they were to communicate? What was their assignment? That was left to another time. What Jesus wanted to communicate to them is that I am going to send you. Jesus was well aware that the final task, or the first task, was to restore their mental and emotional equilibrium. He probably gave more words of assurance and comfort, especially with their state of mind after all the happenings of the previous weeks. But these are the ones that are written for us. And they needed that. They needed that comfort, but they also needed to know that this is what God wants them to do next. Jesus had a plan for the next years of their lives. A change of plans. If you look at the Old Testament, Israel was to draw nations to the light of God through their life experience with Him. People came from all over the place to see how God was blessing Israel. God was working in Israel. It was more of a idea. But now Jesus is turning this around and saying, I don't want you to wait till people come to you. I want you to go. I am sending you. The missional plan would be opposite. And he says, all authority, as the Father has sent me, I am going to send you. So this authority is being passed on. Okay, from the Father to Jesus to the disciples and then eventually to the church. Three transmissions of that authority. We gain the right to speak for Christ based on a right life which we live. Our lifestyle is right if it is modeled after Christ's. Not if it's modeled after somebody else that they're very imperfect. But we want to live our life, imitate Christ. And then we gain that right to speak to others. So this is the first building block, the model for the Great Commission. We are being sent out. Let's look at the second building block. This is in Mark 16:15. the magnitude of missions. Notice I have all M's. That's kind of, isn't that what preachers are supposed to do? Anyways, let's read the text here on Mark 16:15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Okay, the context here is this is 8 days later. Okay, and this time Thomas was there. He's the one that wasn't there before, and he's the doubter, kind of, "I won't believe until I see, you know, the holes in your hands," or whatever. And so Jesus wanted to reassure him that he indeed was alive. But also there was a need to impart additional information to the people about the task ahead. And I want us to notice a couple of phrases here. It says, "into all the world." We're supposed to go into all the world. This means every part of the globe was to hear the good news. No continent was to be excluded. No geographical region ignored. No distance was to be considered too far, and no people group too remote or unworthy. This task was nothing short of global. And the second phrase is whole creation. Okay? Preach the gospel to all of creation. Just as the world, all the world shows the task is to be global, whole of creation shows that this is to be to every person, everyone who's been created by God. We are to bring that message. Messengers of Christ are to have a zeal and priority for personal one-to-one evangelism that reaches to each person. And you can see the map of the... There we go. Where the apostles all went. They all went. They all obeyed that instruction to go and preach the gospel to the whole world. And that's basically the known world of their time. And many of them died far, far from their homeland. In the Philippines, we have a couple that we have sent out, missionaries that we have sent to the far, far northern tip of Thailand. And this area is known as the Golden Triangle. The Golden Triangle is known, or has been famous, because of the drug trafficking that happens there. It is a very dark place, and people have felt darkness in that area. And Darwin and Jenny, our two missionaries that have gone there, are going and are living in that area, sharing the gospel, letting their light shine for Jesus. So this second commission passage gives us the magnitude of our mission, the whole world, all of creation. The third building block is the method. How are we to do missions? And this is in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And this is usually known as the Great Commission passage, the most famous one. And let's read that text together. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" First, let's look at God's authority. What are the practical implications? He says, "All authority has been given to me." For a missionary, this means ongoing confidence that what he is doing is authorized. When I go to the Philippines and I share the gospel with Filipinos, or as I train Filipinos to go to other countries, to other areas, I have this confidence that what I am doing is authorized by God. This is what Jesus had intended. For sending churches like Coldale MB, this is the implication for us, is that the certainty of our mission is worthwhile. It is worthwhile. It is worthwhile to send people, persons like myself, or others like Donovan, to these areas. it is worth sending prayers to our Father in heaven. It is worth sending material assistance, because this is important to God. Okay, he said, go and make disciples. What is a disciple? Marvin Newell, he's a missiologist, and he's helped me think through some of these issues, says, a disciple is a consistent, lifelong follower of Christ, whose life is progressively being transformed into the image of Christ. He joyfully walks with Christ, is constantly being informed by Scripture, prayer, and the Holy Spirit, and other believers, with the chief end of glorifying God. So this is not just go and make converts. This is taking a little bit more time, taking more effort. And it's been exciting to see this process of disciples being developed. And this is my challenge to missionaries as they go out. As Filipino missionaries go out, be a disciple. Get to know your Lord in a way that you've never known him before. Because your relationship with God will determine how effective you will be on the mission field. So we see a process here. First of all, go. The missionary or the person has to go. We have to go outside of our church to those neighbors. We have to go cross borders to tell others about Jesus Christ. We have to cross cultures in order to explain the good news. And he says, baptize new believers. Now, baptism is the culmination of the repent, believe, and baptize experience of salvation. We are to explain the whole salvation process and then to teach them to obey. This is the discipleship. This is the challenge of seeing people follow our Lord. Two people that I had a pleasure of working with in the Philippines are brother and sister, Alan and Arnie. Arnie's a girl. Alan and Arnie were from the province, and they grew up in a farming community, probably kind of like Coaldale. And they attended a church that our mission planted and came to faith in Christ and were discipled. They were baptized, they were taught, and eventually both Arnie and Alan ended up becoming part of a church planting team in another location. They were going to their neighbors, sharing the love of Jesus Christ, doing evangelism, and God was really using them in that effort. But God did not leave them there. Today, Arnie is a missionary in Thailand with the Isan people, sharing the gospel with them. A very, very hardened Buddhist group that has not been very open to the gospel. Today, Alan, he's recently married. He and his wife, in 3 days, are going to leave for the southern Philippines and will be working with the Muslim group. They have taken their discipleship to another level. They felt God was calling them into the area of missions. And it's been so exciting to work with them, to help them, to prepare them for going out and sharing the gospel message. Now, next, let's look at the phrase, all nations. What is all nations? Is that a country? Every country on the globe? Actually, it is not exactly the word for country. It's a word for ethnic groups or people groups. A significantly large grouping of individuals who perceive themselves to have a common affinity for one another. So, for example, the country of China would have many, many different people groups. The Philippines has many, many different people groups. They have different languages, different cultures, and so on. So that's what, when this passage says, make disciples of all nations, it means of all people groups. Missiologists say that there are 16,302 ethno-linguistic groups in the world, or people groups, nations. But only 9,653 have been reached with the gospel. They have some kind of witness. There are believers among them. So that means there's about 6,000-7,000 people groups that do not have a good witness. They do not have someone to share the gospel with them. They don't have a church established where they can go and find out the truth about God. So as we have looked at the Matthew passage, it gives us the method of missions, going and making disciples. The fourth building block is the message of missions. This is found in Luke 24, 44 to 49. I'll read that. Then he said to them, and this is on the road to Emmaus, he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their eyes, or their minds, to understand the scriptures, and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Beginning from Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Who are the people that need that message? There are the animists, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslim, the Jew, the atheists, the secularists. Everybody needs to hear this message. What does this passage teach us? Who is Jesus? He is the Messiah. What did Jesus do? He died and rose from the grave. How is one to respond? With repentance and faith in Christ. And what will be the benefit of that repentance and faith? Forgiveness of sins. I mentioned to you Darwin and Jenny earlier. Darwin and Jenny are working up in that area in the Golden Triangle. And Jenny has started a Bible study with 12 teenage girls. These 12 girls have come to faith in Christ. Probably some of the first believers in that area. And these girls, as they're growing up, they're hungry for the Word of God. They want to learn. They want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. However, in Thailand, often if parents do not have the money to send their children off to college after high school, they sell their children into prostitution, slavery. And this would have been the result of most of those girls when they left high school. There was no hope for anything else. However, we have shared the news with some people, and some people have chosen to sponsor these girls so that they don't have to be sold into prostitution to help their families with finances. And these girls now can choose to go and take a vocation at a college where many of them desire to go. They can live as disciples and not in the life of prostitution. That message has freed them from the grip of sin, and they are in the process of being discipled. The root problem, sin. Wow. We can find it anywhere here in Canada, I'm sure. But when we go to some place like Thailand, when you see that, it is very, very sad to see. Yeah. The reality of sin, well, there's essential truths from this, is that the reality of sin as man's greatest predicament, our greatest predicament isn't poverty. It's not corruption. It's sin. Another truth is the redemptive work of Christ. It's the only cure for that predicament of sin. This is the only cure. And the response necessary, repentance for forgiveness of sin. We need to share that gospel message, that truth that will set people free. So this is the fourth building block that provides the message. Finally, the fifth building block, the means of missions. Acts 1 verse 8, and we read this earlier. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. An important principle here is spiritual work takes spiritual power to achieve spiritual ends. We cannot do it on our own. I cannot go and do my ministry on my own. It is God working in us through His Holy Spirit. Last week, Kevin Thiessen talked about how important the work of the Holy Spirit is in his ministry in North Africa, how he is working in the lives of Muslims. And the means is for missions is through the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, the verse goes on to talk about where you're supposed to go. And there's a chart. Yes, okay. The different dynamics. The book of Acts says, starting in Jerusalem and Judea. Start around home, close to home, when you share the gospel. That's where we start with our mission. Starting local. And then you move on to Samaria. Now, Samaria was half Jew, half Gentile, slightly different culture, slightly different people group, but they need to hear the gospel too. And then you go on to the ends of the earth. When you start local, it's easy. Any of us can do that. We can go to our neighbors. We can share in our cities, in our towns, in our cafes. But when you go slightly farther afield, it takes a little bit more challenge because you have to understand their culture and maybe sometimes their language. And of course, when you go far away to different cultures, different places, it gets much more difficult. And that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do that. If we see the map of Israel, can you click a little further so the circles are on? It won't do that? Okay. I had concentric circles going there and just showing starting in Jerusalem, going to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's what God's plan is, that we would do that kind of ministry. Starting at home and then continuing to go global. These are the five building blocks of the Great Commission. The model. We are to be sent out. We are to send out people. Okay? The magnitude, to the whole world. The method, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to make disciples. Baptizing and teaching them. And share the gospel message. That Christ died and rose again for repentance. And the response is the repentance for sin. And then the means is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, how should we respond this morning? How should we respond to this challenge? If this is so important that Jesus 5 times emphasized the mission of the church to his disciples, how should we respond? Number 1 is intentionally prepare for missions. intentionally prepare. That's for the church, for the leaders, for the members. We are to prepare to take that gospel message to the world. Think globally. Don't think just about your neighbor next door. Think about the wider perspective that God has plans to bring that message to those people on the other side of the world. 61% of the world's population lives in Asia. That's the other side of the world from where we are. And they need to have that witness there. But not all of us can go. And I don't think God intends for everybody to go. So we can start locally. Start sharing the message here in Coaldale, in Lethbridge, southern Alberta. And finally, rely on the Holy Spirit. It is God's power that enables us to do His mission. Recently, I was in a church, and I was walking out of the church, and I noticed a sign above the exit of the church, and it said, "You are now entering your mission field." And that struck me, yes. As we walk out this morning, out of this church, out of this sanctuary, we are entering our mission field. We have a mission field all around, a local mission field. But we also have a global mission field as well. So start local, but think global. What is your mission field? Thank you.